The first epistle of Peter, chapter 1, verse 1. May we hear the word of God. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And may God speak to us today through this, his holy word, and may his name ever be praised. Amen. Some friends returning from a trip to Scotland brought to me a wall plaque which had on it the tartan and crest and motto of the Kennedy clan. Now, some of you might be a little surprised by that and may have thought that Kennedy was an Irish name. The truth of the matter is it was originally Scottish, and some of them sort of fell from the way and moved to Ireland. But originally the clan was Scottish. And at the top of this plaque there is the motto of the Kennedy clan, which I have found quite interesting. It's in French and contains the three words Avis la fin, which means consider the end. Without having been aware of that motto in previous years, that sort of has become a motto of my life. In Evangelism Explosion, we begin by considering the end. Do you know that if you were to die today, that you would go to heaven? Is a consideration of ultimates, of finalities, of the end. And that is a wise thing for anyone to do. Today, as we come to the 11th of the 12 chapters of the Zodiac, we will avis la fin, consider the end. We come today to a consideration of the end or the completion of Messiah's work in both the 11th and the 12th chapters. In this chapter, we have a completion of the Messiah's work as it relates to the redeemed. In the final chapter, we will have a completion of Messiah's work as it relates to his enemies. But tonight, consideration of Christ's ultimate work for his church. The name of this sign, of course, is Cancer, the crab. You will remember that there are three sets of four books, each of which has a set of bookends. The first one has two figures facing each other, in Virgo the Virgin on one end at the beginning, and Sagittarius the Archer facing together. The next set, they're looking away from each other in Capricornus, and then again in Aries. And in this final set, which deals with the consummation of Christ's work, again they're facing toward each other, Taurus looking toward Leo the Lion. And now we come to number 11, Cancer the Crab. The completion of the Redeemer's work in regard to his own. This is a picture of the church possessed and held fast by Christ. We were told by Peter that we had been redeemed to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven for us, who are kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last day. Well, here is a revelation of that keeping power of God in salvation in the heavens above. And in the midst of Cancer the crab, there is one of the brightest clusters or nebulae in all of the heavens. It's called Praesepe, and it is a cluster of stars, and it means the multitude, or the offspring, or the innumerable seed. You'll remember that God said to Abraham to look under the heavens, and if he could count the stars, so would be the number of his seed. And the church is this heavenly multitude which is kept here by God. One of the most obvious things about a crab is his two claws by which he takes hold of something and holds it firmly. And so here we have a picture of the church which is being held as the possession of Christ, taken to its heavenly home. Like the crab, which lives in two elements, the water and the land, so the church lives in the element of the earth and also of the heavens. Its many legs indicating multitudinous, so the church has multiplied exceedingly, so shall thy seed be. The Egyptian name for this constellation is Claria, K-L-A-R-I-A, and it means the folds, the resting place. The Hebrew name is Sartan, which means the one who holds, a picture of Christ who holds and keeps his own. Interesting that the word cancer is related to the words or the noetic forms Khan, K-H-A-N, which means a traveler's resting place, and also the form of the word sir or cur, which means embraced or encircled. So the two parts of the word actually means the resting place secured or embraced or encircled. This is even made clearer as we look at the stars. The brightest star, which is in the tail of the crab, is Tegmene, which means holding. In the lower claw, we have the star Akubene, which means sheltering or hiding place. And then there is Al-Himarain, which means the kids or lambs. And then Ma-Alaf, which means the assembled thousands. A picture of the Savior's possessions held fast. The assembled thousands in the heavens above, held by the Savior, a completion of his work. And the meaning of this is made even clearer as we consider the three decans, the minor stories or pictures in this. And if you will look on your planisphere that you have, you will find Ursa Minor. Now, to find Ursa Minor, you go just about to the center of the ecliptic, and there you will find Ursa Minor, which is called today the Little Bear. However, this is not the ancient meaning of these constellations, Ursa Minor and Ursa Major. In fact, never did a bear have such a tail as that. That would be more like the tail of a kangaroo than a bear. Actually, there is no bear in the planispheres or zodiacs of the Chaldeans, the Persians, the Egyptians, or the Indians. Actually, what we have here is rather a sheepfold, which is what the meaning of this originally was. And that probably comes from the fact that one of the brightest stars in Ursa Major is the star Dubhe, D-U-B-H-E, which is very similar to the word dob, or the Hebrew dov, which means a rest or a resting place or a fold. And however, the close word to that means bear. And that probably is what confused the Greeks, and they took this and changed it into a major and minor bears. But it's really talking about a little and then a great fold. This is the little flock. This is God's church, the gathering together of his people. The brightest star in Ursa Minor is at the end of his long tail, and it is called in Arabic Al-Rukaba. We know it as Polaris, or the pole star, the north pole star, the star in the heavens which does not rotate, around which all of the rest of the heavens rotate. It's interesting, we've talked about the precession of the equinoxes, how the stars have changed over the centuries. And if you go back 6,000 years ago, when this was first set forth, the pole star was not Polaris, but it was the star Draconis, the main star in Draco, the dragon. And I think that is fraught with meaning, that at that time Satan had deceived man, Adam and Eve. He had brought them into ruin, into the fall, precipitated their destruction, and now he ruled over the earth. And the whole world was in the hands of the evil one. So it seemed, even as we looked up into the heavens, that all of the heavens rotated around the dragon. And yet, the dragon was in for a surprise, because now, with the precession of the equinoxes, that has changed, and now it revolves around the star Polaris. And when we remember that this is a picture of the church, we need to remember that Christ is, of course, the head of the church. And several things we could consider there as far as the church is concerned. By the way, the Greeks had a special name for this star. They called it Kunosura. And we get an English word from that, which is not too well known. Some of the more literary among you may be familiar with this word, but it's the word cynosure, C-Y-N-O-S-U-R-E. Actually, Kunosura comes from two words, the word for dog, from which we get some words for dog, and also the word cynic, which comes from the word dog, kunos or kynos, and shura, which means a tail. It means the dog's tail. That's actually what it means. Now, how they got the dog's tail on the tail of the bear, I'm not quite sure. But at any rate, the word cynosure has come to be a perfectly good English word in its secondary meaning, since the cynosure is the pole star. It is the star to which the mariners or sailors turn to look to locate themselves, and thus it became the object of attention. It became the center of attraction. It became the focus of all eyes. And so today we can say that a cynosure is anything upon which the attention of all men or of all of the world is fixed upon. Now, I think that's interesting because here is a picture of the church. Now, we may consider this either of the body of the church, which is actually central now in the drama of the ages. I have said before that it is what is going on in the church which is really center stage in the world. And all of the things that you read about in your newspaper concerning the rise and fall of kingdoms, concerning the wars and the destruction all about us, all of this is simply the staging. The real drama has to do with the church. What God is really concerned with in this world is what is happening in the church. And increasingly, as that church grows, it is becoming more and more obvious, and more attention is being drawn to it. And now, today, we've seen the increasing attention that the church is being given. Now, that attention is not always favorable, and people are not always happy with the church. Those who are its enemies may gnash their teeth and rage about it, and yet it becomes increasingly a cynosure, a center of attraction. And this, of course, is even more thoroughly true of the head of the body of the church, which is Jesus Christ. He is the center of the ages. H.G. Wells, who was a complete skeptic and did not believe in Christ, remarked, though he was a historian and wrote his great Outlines of History, he said that he found it strange that a skeptic like himself could not trace the history of this planet without realizing that more and more and more it came to focus in the lowly Jesus of Nazareth, who is the great cynosure of the ages, the one to whom all eyes are increasingly turned in our world. The bright star in Ursa Minor, the next brightest star, rather, is Kokab, which means waiting for him who cometh. And another star in this is Al-Furqaydayn, which means the Redeemed Assembly. So it is very clear from the names of the stars and from the ancient pictures where this is a sheepfold and not a bear, that this little flock, this little sheepfold, is a picture of the gathering together of God's people in heaven. This becomes increasingly obvious as we consider the next two of the decans of Cancer the Crab. The second one, of course, is Ursa Major, which is probably the best known of all of the constellations in the sky. Now, we don't know it as the Great Bear, as the Greeks called it. We call it the Big Dipper. And all of us are familiar with the seven stars that make up the Big Dipper, which are just a small part of all of the stars in Ursa Major. This is, of course, the ancient picture of Ursa Major. Like Ursa Minor, is neither a dipper nor a bear, but it is the greater sheepfold. It is a picture in the most ancient of the planispheres of the zodiacs of the various nations. It is pictured as a sheepfold. And in Arabic, the name of this is Al-Naysh, which means the assembled together. The brightest star, as I've said, is Dubhay, which means herd or flock. Another star is the star Merak, which in Hebrew means the flock, and in Arabic means the purchased. And the Church of Christ is his flock. They are also those whom he purchased with his own blood. Another bright star in there is the star Feda. And that means visited, guarded, and numbered. And we're told in the scripture that we have been visited by the Son of God. What is man that thou hast visited him? That we have become a visited planet, visited by God incarnate. We are guarded. This is the same word that is found in our text in Hebrew, where it says that we are kept by the power of God. It means to be guarded or garrisoned. It is used in another part of the New Testament of a city which was guarded by soldiers and circled about. And so we are guarded or kept by God unto that salvation ready to be revealed. And we are numbered as he has counted all of his own and knows all of his elect, and their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Other stars in Ursa Major are El Alcola, which means the sheepfold, and Kabd al-Asad, which means a multitude or the many, a symbol, El Kafra, which means the protected, or in Hebrew, the redeemed or ransomed. And a more familiar star, Callisto, which means, again, the sheepfold. So there is no doubt whatsoever, when you look at the names of the stars, there is a united and unfailing testimony. There are numerous other stars which have similar names that have similar meanings in these two constellations of Ursa Major and Minor, and all point to the very same thing, that this is a sheepfold containing the vast multitude of the numbered and guarded and protected and redeemed and ransomed people of God. That this is the work of Christ, who has gathered together his lambs into that heavenly sheepfold which he has gone to prepare, that place which he has prepared for them. Again, the same picture in different ways in the final decan of this chapter, which is Argo. And this is outside of the ecliptic, and you see it in the large ship of Argo, which is what the word means. Here we have a picture of the pilgrims safe at last in harbor. And you'll notice that in this ship that the sails are rolled up. It is not a ship in the midst of a journey, but it is a ship which has completed its journey and now is at rest in the safe harbor of home. Here, of course, is a picture of the famous and celebrated ship of the Argonauts we mentioned before in an earlier picture about Jason and the Argonauts in Greek mythology. This is a story which apparently has some sort of historical basis to it. It's talked about by Homer and by others. That was in 1000 B.C., and it's older than that. The picture of Jason and this great band of heroes that went out on this great journey in the ship Argo. They were called Argonauts long before we had astronauts sailing the stars. And they were sailing on the ship Argo. They went in search, you recall, of the Golden Fleece. Now, the Golden Fleece was a picture of the lost innocence and righteousness of mankind, which had been lost and which needed to be redeemed and rediscovered. And Jason, by the way, is a Greek form of the Hebrew word Joshua or Jesus, which in Greek is Jesus, or in another form, it is Jason or Jason. And so here we have Christ, Jesus, the captain in the well-fought fight, the captain of the ship of the Argonauts. And you may recall that the church is pictured as a ship. This part of a ship, of a church, is known as what? This is the nave of a church, from which we get the word navy. And the ship is the ark of safety. It is the ark of Christ, and Christ is the captain. Well, Christ, as you may recall, to provide that innocence, had to go to the city of Colchis, and there in a garden it was hung upon a tree, and it was guarded by a serpent. And Jason alone was able to destroy the serpent and to recover that righteousness, which now had been transformed as having come, this golden fleece, from the sheep that was killed. A picture of the fact of Christ, the Lamb of God, that gives his life in order to provide a clothing, a covering, to provide man for man's lost righteousness. Well, now the Argonauts and all of its heroes have endured the many trials and sufferings and dangers, and now at last the ship has been brought safely home and is at last in the harbor of rest. The word Argo comes from roots that mean a company of travelers. The brightest star in Argo is the star Canopus, which means the possession of him who cometh. And another star, Sephina, means the multitude, and another, Teres, means the possession. A picture of the fact of, again, the possessions of Christ. And if you look at the Argonaut, you'll find an interesting thing about this ship. On the prow, there is the head of a lion. But on all ships, the head of whatever creature they had on the ship was facing forward. But on this Argo, you will see that the head is facing inward, into the nave of the ship. There on the prow, but looking down upon those who inhabited and sailed in that ship. Christ, of course, is the great lion of the tribe of Judah. And he is the one who is protecting his own, watching over his own, even as we sang tonight. Standeth God within the shadows, keeping watch upon his own. So here we see the picture of the ship, of the church, the nave, arrived at last after its dangerous journey, having secured the golden fleece to cover its nakedness, produced by the slain lamb, which gave its life for their covering. And now, at last, with sails rolled up, and at peace and at ease in the harbor and haven above. Indeed, consider the end, the completion of Messiah's work. As far as we who are believers are concerned, this is the glorious task. We who are kept by the power of God, gathered at last into the sheepfold prepared by Christ, brought at the end into that peaceful harbor and haven of rest by the glory and power of our great Redeemer and Captain, Jesus Christ. A beautiful picture. And I trust that henceforth, whenever you see a picture of this sign, you will have an altogether different conception of the meaning. And you will remember that you are held in the hand of Him from whom no one can take you, and that there is reserved for you a place in heaven, and you are kept by the very power of God. May we pray. Father, we thank Thee for the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the accomplished and finished work of our Savior, that we will at last join our voices with the vast multitudes coming out of every tongue and nation and tribe upon this earth and cry in exaltation, "Our Jesus hath brought us all the way to glory." In His name, amen.